and good afternoon. Thank you for coming. My name is Carlotta Mast, and I am the editor-in-chief of NewHope360.com and the editor-in-chief of Natural Foods Merchandiser. Work with New Hope Natural Media, the company that puts on this conference, and I'm so glad to see so many people here for our annual Marketing to Moms session. This session is backed by popular demand. We always get great attendance for this topic and requests for more information on how you can reach the powerful mom market. And I moderated last year's session, and one of the some of the feedback, while people really liked the session, they wanted more hands-on information about how you know, the tools you need to really reach the mom market. So I'm very excited about the two speakers we have this year, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about them. And sitting to my right is Corey Caldwell Lipson, and she is, in addition to being the mommy to two, she's a green lifestyle expert, speaker, writer, spokesmom, and co-author with her own mother of this book, Celebrate Green, Creating Eco-Savvy Holiday Celebrations and Traditions for the Whole Family. And I got this book a year ago, and I've been using it for the last year to really, to kind of green up my own holidays. So it's a great read if you get a chance. And she's also the founder of Green Halloween, which you've probably heard about, and National Costume Swap Day, and co-founder of The Green Year, as well as a licensed marital and family therapist specializing in the transition to parenthood. She's a frequent guest contributor to lifestyle segments, and her ideas and initiatives have been featured in numerous magazines, including Real Simple, Family Circle, Mothering. She's been on Good Morning America and online at People.com, MSNBC, and AOL.com. And over the last 2 years, the value of the media exposure for her initiatives topped more than $2.5 million. And in her work, Corey seeks to create meaningful change by educating and empowering moms to make better buying decisions and connecting with healthier and more sustainable brands. And each year, Corey's program replaces more than 1 million units of conventional candy with better for kids and planet goodies at public Halloween events across the United States, which as a parent, I love. I love that that's happening. So, and next to Corey is her co-presenter, Kimberly Pinkson, and she's the founder of EcoMom Alliance. And Kimberly Pinkson she's the founder of EcoMom Alliance, and that's a nonprofit organization and network of more than 11,000 women and community leaders working together to propel a healthy and sustainable world. She's also the co-founder of EcoMom.com, a curated e-commerce site with all e-commerce EcoMom-approved products. And drawing on a sense of global interconnection and healthy living that was instilled when she went on her first Native American vision quest at the age of 13, Kimberly is an inspiring public speaker, which I think you'll all see, a holistic wellness expert, sustainable living advocate, and mother. Her realistic, practical, and authentic approach has led to keynotes at numerous conferences, including the North Carolina Women's Conference and the World Women's Forum in Seoul, Korea. She's also appeared a lot on the media, including on 2020 and the Today Show. And she's committed to sharing with families the good news that there are easy, affordable, and rewarding ways to live in greater balance, health, and joy. And they're going to, for the next hour, really present together kind of the recipe for success for marketing to moms. And they're going to be merging their backgrounds in psychology, their role as mothers, and their expertise as ecopreneurs, eco-entrepreneurs, so that, you know, doing that, and they're in their work, they've worked together before to work with brands to engage the mom market and turn would-be consumers into loyal buyers and brand ambassadors. So I think they'll have a lot of hands-on tools and actionable advice you can leave this session with. So that is our hope. I'll turn the podium over.
Well, thank you so much, Carlotta. And hello, everyone. We're so glad that you're here with us today to talk about this enigmatic and ever-changing world of marketing to moms. So some of you may be here today knowing full well the power and influence that moms have on the market. Perhaps you already have strategies in place with your brand to connect to the mom market, and you're just looking for additional tools for your toolkit. Others of you may be here with new brands, new companies, or you may be new to the idea of how much power and influence moms actually have. And you're really looking for strategies to understand how to connect your brand to moms, and you want to know more about why it's even important to do that, and you want some seeds planted within your company and the brand. So no matter where you are in the spectrum, we hope, like Carlotta said, to be able to offer not just ideas that will inspire you today to connect your brand to moms, but also you'll walk away with some really actionable tools that you can take back to your team. So we're using today the analogy of a recipe. And we wish that we could come up here and offer a boilerplate recipe that everybody could use to go home and connect with moms and sell your products. Unfortunately, that's not possible. Because as each of your brands are unique, so too are all the moms in the mom market. There is no one-size-fits-all recipe. So as Kimberly and I are talking today, we really encourage you to pull in the ingredients that we're going to be sharing today, and take note of them, because we hope that when today is said and done, when this hour has gone, that you will have the ingredients to put together your recipe for success in connecting your brands to moms. So with that, Kimberly is going to start us off with the first and most important step in connecting to moms and using your recipe, and that is knowing who it is that you're even cooking for.
Thank you, Carlotta and Corey, for that. Let's see if we can get the technology working here. Yes. Okay, we are off and running. Is my microphone working? Okay, cool. So knowing who you're cooking for. And you think like, oh, moms, you know, that's just one big umbrella. I know, if I can figure out one solution, I'll get them all. But moms come in a variety of shapes, colors, sizes, preferences. And it's so critical that when you're marketing toward us and our fellow moms that you know where we're at. When I was, about 19 years old or so, I went, I had a huge crush on this guy. And I thought, I'm going to make him a really fancy dinner. I always enjoyed cooking. And I did like a, chicken teriyaki and homemade teriyaki sauce and some sort of coconut rice thing. And the pièce de résistance at the end was these meringues with raspberry sauce. And I thought, oh, this is going to be so impressive. He's totally going to like me. Well, he got there. He was a vegetarian. And And he was not, didn't do sugar. So my meringues were left untouched until later. I got to eat them by myself, feeling sorry for myself after our evening had been very unimpressive. So just a little story about how important knowing who your audience is, right? Then jump ahead 20-something years, and I am a new mom, and I need a new car. And so I, very concerned about safety and gas mileage. I do tons of research before I go down to the dealership, and my mom comes with me, and, I've got my son. He's like a month old, I think. And I go into the dealership feeling very confident that I'm going to walk out with a new car because I've done all my research. So I'm thinking this salesman's got an easy job today. Of course, as soon as we get on the lot, he's one of the guys is up there, hey, how can I help you? And, my mom takes my son and I go off on a test drive with the guy and everything's going wonderfully until he says, with a wink, he says, so I've saved the best part for last. And I'm like, really? Okay, what's that? And he says, even the driver's side, the visor has a mirror so you can check your makeup anytime. And I was like, okay, he just lost me. Because at that point, the last thing in my mind was anything to do with makeup. And if I was going to like pull over for anything, it was going to be to nurse my son, not to check my makeup.
If it had a breast pump in the visor.
Yeah, right?
That could have been a different story. Might have increased your need.
Totally. So he lost me. I never went back to that dealership. And I never forgot that story because it was just such a good reminder as I, moved into working more in business and with brands about how important it is that we really know what stage the people we're talking to are in. And certainly moms are no different. When we are pregnant, we want an abundance of thoroughly vetted information and research and testing and statistics. And, we have time for all that research. When we're a new mom, we're just overwhelmed. We want, just a hand to hold and assurance that we're doing the right thing and that your product or your brand is going to support us in our journey of parenting and, pat us on the back that we're doing okay and we're doing the right thing. And then when we have school-age kids, which is where both of us are now, we're so darn busy running carpools and driving our kids to after-school activities and making sure their homework is done. And, you know, the last thing we need from a brand or a product is extra information. We're like, give us a good product, a quick tagline that tells us who you are and what you're about, and we're out of here, you know? So knowing what your audience wants, who you're cooking for, is so critical. Otherwise, you could be spending all this time, money, and energy on a marketing campaign or product that really doesn't match with your audience. So the way you can find this out is to, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. Go to where, you know, you believe your target audience is and really try to sink in and find out where she's at with her, like, daily rhythms and her, you know, her just daily life. You know, is she at mommy and me play groups? Is she going to the playground? Is she, you know, online? And online, is she on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest? And Pinterest, by the way, if you're not yet familiar with it, it is a very fast-growing site with over 7 million unique visitors. And right now it's driving more sales than Google+, YouTube, and
LinkedIn
together.
Combined.
So it's a really great resource. Pinterest, P-I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T. .com, and it's essentially like a tool where you can create collages, and you know, you can post images of your products on there, and it's and then moms can like say they like it and they can repin it. It's really like a collage board, and moms are loving it. So it's a great place to go see what they're pinning and liking, and then use it to share your product story. So really listening to where she's at, and then as you're asking questions, here's the most important part: is to really listen. And then if you need to readjust your vision to where she's at. So with that, I'm going to go to the next slide, hopefully, and Corey's going to talk about some details on that questioning.
Right. So on the question, this is just to go a little bit further into what types of questions that you can ask. And
yes, they will be available. Yeah. And there's also a handout with some of the key points from the session that's available at the back of the room that you can pick up on your way out.
You can relax and, yeah, good, thank you.
So these are some of the questions that you are going to want to know about your mom market. Kimberly talked about life stage, and when you're working with moms, these stages are so unique and so different. If you're wanting to reach moms who are expecting, then, you know, that's a very, very different life stage than moms who have school-age kids. So you're really going to need to know her life stage. Her family composition is also quite important if you can get to know that information. Is she married? Does she have a partner at home? Is she a single mom? There's many, many single moms out there, and that's important information. Also, 75% of boomer-age grandparents are involved in the raising of at least one of their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So you actually have the opportunity to reach grandparents who are actually mothering again. So it's important to know if boomer-age grandparents are involved. You know, would they be selecting products for their grandchildren? Income level, education, geography, ethnicity, values and priorities. These are all questions that you'll want to ask. Kimberly mentioned sort of her real playground and her virtual playgrounds. Where is she? Where is she in real life and where is she virtually? Her level of greenness is obviously important to all of us here. When Kimberly and I work with brands, one of the first questions we ask is, what market are you trying to reach on the green spectrum? If brands say we want to reach all moms, we'll say, let's talk about that, kind of go back to the drawing board. We need to narrow it down. If you want to reach mainstream moms, your strategy is going to be very different than if you're reaching light green moms, dark green moms. You've got to know her level of greenness. We talked, you know, basically about where she connects. Does she have an iPad? Does she like to play around on Twitter, on YouTube? Does she text? These are all questions you want to know. What language does she speak, literally and figuratively? Is she a millennium age mom that's very comfortable with all the technology? Or is she a boomer age mom that we know the boomer age moms are much more comfortable with email, good old, you know, e-newsletters, and actual Clip-It coupons? So you'll want to ask all these questions and you'll want to know the answers before you start reaching out.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. could just see in our last line here because I couldn't see here. Don't forget to know your brand and to be able to share your story. You want to know her story, but she's going to want to know yours. So know your voice. If you, some of you already have Facebook accounts and you're already, you know, out there in your social media, you've probably spent some time developing your voice, an authentic voice that has a true story so that she can feel comfortable in connecting with you. If you're not out there in the social media world, spend some time to really think, what is your authentic voice? What is your story? This will help create connection with mom.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One of the tools that, we found, well, again, you know, going both online and in person, but online surveys are great, and also just, you know, using Facebook and Twitter, asking, you know, questions that would, you know, guide them. For example, you know, are you more concerned about, you know, energy efficiency, or do you want to, or are you, you know, more concerned about the, you know, food that you're feeding pretty much everybody that has an inclination toward this is going to say organic food is important, but energy efficiency may not be high on most people's list, where if they're sort of more deep green, they're going to be paying a lot more attention to that. So you can ask sort of leading questions that, you know, test the waters into the depths of interest with, you know, carbon impact, you know, those kinds of questions.
I was at a meeting yesterday with a brand that is really wanting to focus on moms. And with a really simple strategy of incorporating a survey, the moment that a mom signs up on the site to receive the newsletter of what is important to you, why are you here, what can we offer you, just asking the question, she's going to be really thrilled to answer you. If your brand has a presence at in-person events, ask her. Ask her, what is it that our brand can provide for you? Why are you choosing our brand? Ask her her story. Moms are thrilled to connect with you in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk more a lot more about the connection part and how, in case you haven't figured this out, if you're a man, women do like to be heard sometimes. and we like to talk a lot, so we'll get into that a lot more for sure. But let's go to the next slide here. And our tip number two is to make sure you're feeding a real hunger. And what we mean by this is to make sure you're solving an actual problem as opposed to creating a problem in order to sell your brand. there's, I think, you know, when we get an inspiration for a brand or a company or a product, sometimes we get so carried away, we forget to really check in, is this really solving a problem? Is there really a need for this? Back in 2003, some of you may remember, Delta Airlines launched a subsidiary airline called Song. And they spent upwards of like $100 million into just their marketing research. And they had, you know, Kate Spade came in to do their design. And, you know, every seat had their personal entertainment system and organic food and beverages. And it was like the goal was to market to women, in particular moms. And, I mean, they spared no expense in like really finding out what we want. And they did a phenomenal job from that perspective. But they forgot to take into consideration one thing, that families and, you know, moms with kids are not your biggest travelers. You know, most of us just, that's not something, you know, we're lucky if we get to go maybe on one family vacation a year. So here they are basing this whole program on really getting those women and moms, and it wasn't necessarily their strongest place to go after. On the opposite end of that, in terms of really, you know, making sure you're feeding a real hunger, in 2006, I was a newly single mom and with a young infant, young son, 2 years old, and very scared. You know, what was I going to do with my life? How was I going to make a living? How was I going to take care of him? I really wanted to do something that would help make the world a better place as well, so he could, you know, grow up in a healthy environment. And, you know, I was literally praying for, like, guidance and a vision. And in the midst of that, co-produced an event for the United Nations for World Environment Day. And a few weeks after that, I was with a group of mom friends on a picnic, and I overheard one of them talking about how she had attended that event and then gone home and changed out her light bulbs to CFLs, or compact fluorescent lights. Back in 2006, very few people knew what CFLs were. And so one of the other moms in the group said, "What's a CFL?" And I was, of course, really interested in, you know, listening to hear what was going to transpire. And she, you know, explained, oh, it's a more energy-efficient light bulb. And then the conversation took off like wildfire. All of a sudden, these moms were talking about recycling. And then they were talking about diapers. And then they were talking about, you know, bath and beauty products. And it was all about, like, what's, you know, better for the environment and which one has less toxins or more toxins and which one can you afford and where can you find it. And I was sitting there watching going, wow, like, the power of moms as role models, but also as a market force. And even more like holy moly was the way these moms were sharing amongst each other and like wanting to really provide solutions and answers and you know, service for each other. And I just thought, gosh, you know, that feels like a really place that I want to be working. And then a couple weeks later, again, I was like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? And the term, I was up on a hill behind my house, kind of hiking and praying again, in a sense. And the term Eco-Mom came to my mind, and then Eco-Mom Alliance. And at the time, the only illusion that I could find anywhere out in the web world was there was a robot in Quebec that was like a trash collector robot called Eco-Mom. other than that, I wasn't finding anything out there. And so I started reaching out to, you know, moms and friends and mom groups and saying, you know, hey, are you interested in learning more about healthier choices and healthier products and, you know, little changes that we can make that are so much better for our world and how we can support, you know, better brands that are doing better work for this world our children are growing up in. And I ended up speaking at, you know, to thousands of moms at a myriad of moms groups around the country. And lo and behold, they were interested. They were like, we want to do the right thing, but there's so much confusing, you know, mixed marketing information out there, and we don't know who to believe. And so EcoMomAlliance.org was born out of that. And further, we saw that these moms were really hungry to become leaders in their communities. Like, they wanted to be out there inspiring people. So we connected with what we call the Eco-Mom community leaders, and with Green Halloween, we call them our volunteer coordinators, and we work with them. So they're really community-based. They know their, you know, their neighborhood, and so that's something really key that I think you can take home today. I think women are like, you know, queen bees, right? We each know our hive best. So I know how to speak to the women in my neighborhood and my community. I don't know necessarily how to speak to Corey's or Carlotta's as well as they can. So empowering sort of like brand advocates in key communities can be a really powerful tool for you. And certainly we have found that successful. Ecomom.com is now a thriving curated e-commerce site, and Eco-Mom Alliance is an international, you know, organization empowering moms to, you know, really reach out to other moms and choose better brands and make more positive choices. So I share those two stories as one example of losing track of who, you know, the hunger you think you're feeding, and then one of really keeping in touch at the ground level, really keep in touch with who it is you think you're marketing toward and make sure that you're feeding them something they want. When Corey and I were talking about this, I said, yeah, like, I don't want to be served steak. I want salad and ice cream. And so you want to make sure you know, not always, but you want to make sure you know what you're cooking. So Corey, do you want to go over a little bit more about solving specific problems?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to share one other story to drive home this point. So Carlotta mentioned that in addition to my work in the green sphere, I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I work with women and couples in the transition to parenthood. So women who are hoping to become pregnant, of course they don't look to me to help with that specific problem. We help reduce stress so that their fertility can be increased. And all the way through to kind of the postpartum stage. So if a client were to come in looking for support in therapy and I were to stereotype or mind read or guess what it is that she would like support with, 9 times out of 10, or maybe even 10 times out of 10, I'd probably be wrong. It's really important that I ask her, what are you here for today and how can I support you in your vision? Likewise, if I were to utilize a therapeutic approach that was not in line with where she is in her life, if she's looking for maybe a psychoeducational approach to learn about her upcoming childbirth, and she really wants me to help inform her and give her some answers and to help reduce her stress, but I take a Freudian approach and I answer all of her questions with more questions, she's likely to be like, this lady doesn't get me, I don't feel a connection with you, and she's unlikely to come back. And not only that, she's likely to tell her friends, this lady doesn't, you know, isn't going to be where you are. So the importance of asking the question of how can our brand support you? Now, there's two sort of layers of how your brand can help solve a problem. Now, your brand itself may be solving a problem. So if I'm a new mom and I have just learned the horrors of the baby products that have toxins in them, and I would like to find a lotion that doesn't contain endocrine disruptors, your product may actually be the solution, and that's wonderful. But I may also have some deeper level needs and wants and desires that through your marketing approach, you can also help solve. So for example, many new moms are feeling a sense of isolation. It's a very, very common feeling. And through your social media strategy, for example, you can help her feel more connected to the world around her. You can help her feel more connected to other mothers, and you can help her feel more connected to your brand. So for example, asking her questions, what is your story? You know, tell me about your new baby. How has it been? What have been your special moments? What are your funny moments? What are your scary moments? And letting her share in the stories with other moms. And with your authentic voice and your invitation for her to connect with you, you're building loyalty. You're building stories together. So, again, we don't have time to go through every single one of these, and Carlotta has shared that this will be available to you. But just considering these two levels at which you can connect and solve problems for moms. I want to skip down to social acceptance. Many of you have probably read the surveys on and the research on what it is that actually motivates people to take green steps. And all of us sitting here, I know, would love to believe that it is altruism. And unfortunately, that's not really the case. The research shows that it's peer pressure. And so this need for social acceptance can be quite strong, and especially with moms. So if that's a need that you'd like to try to address, then consider ways that your marketing approach can help her to feel hip and cool again. So
that's great advice. Absolutely. Okay, thank you, Corey. Mm-hmm. So moving on to our next tip, which is to use the best, highest quality ingredients and tools. essentially, you want to make your recipe so delicious that mom wants to keep coming back for more and keep telling other people about it. Fortunately, I think it's fortunate, we live in a time when, you know, chefs like Alice Waters from Chez Panisse have, and the slow food movement have really created, you know, an awareness that the best food really does come when you're using the freshest, you know, locally grown, organic, seasonal ingredients. And that, you know, that together with, I think, the Food Network and, you know, all the cooking shows has really created more awareness about just fine quality food. And I guess I have a personal connection to that because when my son was first born, I lived up in the mountains and I spent many a snowy day at home nursing on the couch watching the Food Network. So I think that's maybe why the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and he loves to cook also. You'll get why I'm telling you this story in just a second. We now have this tradition in our family where we go to the farmer's market, and he's 10 years old now, and we do like cook-offs when we get home with the ingredients, like Chopped, that show Chopped, and see, like, you know, what we're going to come up with. And one time he wanted me to buy him some truffles, and I'm like, dude, you're like 8 years old, you know, like not buying you truffles. So we got, you know, cremini mushrooms instead, and his recipe didn't really work, and he was very angry with me and thought I was a lame mommy. That goes to show, though, the importance of not skimping. We learned a valuable lesson on not skimping on the best ingredients and the best tools that you can possibly find and afford. And I know from both time and money, it's often tempting to skimp on cost. And there's, you know, pressure from your boss maybe, or just your, you know, your bottom line, you're looking at cost. But we believe that it's worth the investment at the beginning and that you will recoup the costs later on, because moms are so powerful, as we've been alluding. They're, you know, upwards of 80% of purchasing power in the United States is women, 85% moms. So this is you know, a market. I'm very grateful to see all of you in here because it says to me that you realize that, and that's very encouraging to me because we want to use our dollars to support good brands that authentically care about us. We're also natural disseminators of information, so I want to encourage you to use that. You know, newborn, infant, baby girls show a greater need for communication and connection than do newborn baby boys. We have, you know, throughout history, you know, the women used to, you know, gather around the campfire and, you know, the watering hole and share information and, you know, tools about survival. And now we're gathering around the water cooler, you know, at the office, or we're gathering on groups on Facebook or, you know, Twitter moms. We want to connect. We want to share with each other information and communicate. In her book, The Female Brain, Dr. Luann Brizendine, I think it's a fabulous book if you're interested. Again, it's called The Female Brain. But she cites research that shows how women, even when we're not talking, the part of our brain that's responsible for language and communication is rapidly firing. Which I'm like, oh God, now I know why, you know, I hear all those little voices all the time.
You need a therapist.
Yeah, totally. next session. Anyway, so we want to talk, we want to share, we want to connect. So as marketers, we're like, use that, give her the tools so she can do that, because you don't want to miss it. She's holding the reins to a $2.4 trillion market. You want to get those mama bears on your side. And I use the term mama bear very intentionally because that is our, like, greatest drive. We want to protect our children. So, you know, with, you know, in terms of specific tools and ingredients, you know, we're talking about, you know, there's more and more research, of course, with the connection between, you know, allergies and asthma and, you know, autism and environmentally related disease, which, by the way, is costing our government about $76 billion right now. So by, you know, encouraging moms to make healthier choices, we can help to address that issue as well. But getting her inspired about your brand, because you're doing things like choosing organic ingredients or, you know, avoiding genetically engineered food, or choosing, you know, toxin-free fragrances, you know, using natural essential oils, all those kinds of things are ways to her to engender her, you know, support of you, because you're helping her protect her child. Same thing with like production methods. You know, the world is so small now that we really don't want to, you know, as a mom of a 10-year-old, I don't want my son wearing shoes made by another 10-year-old, you know, on the other side of the world. And I know that most moms would agree with me on that one. So the production methods that you're using, try to, you know, aspire to be as fair trade as possible, and to be really, you know, considering the production methods. The packaging is another really important area. We, you know, in terms of marketing, we of course think about, you know, how does the package look? How's it going to fit on the, you know, the shelf or on the website? You know, what colors are we using? What's our tagline? But also the integrity of the actual packaging. As, you know, again, as more research comes out connecting, you know, toxins and such with the health of our children and our world, you may be providing a great product, but if it's packaged with something that has, you know, BPA in it, that will come out eventually, and then all of the work that you've done to create, to, you know, garner our trust, it's gone like that, you know? So paying attention to how you're packaging your products. And then, let's see what else. If you're going to do all these things, be transparent about it. You know, I think there's more and more a growing demand from moms. We want to know how you're making stuff, where it's being made, and what the ingredients are, and we want to see that. And I would ask you as a marketer, if you're not able to be transparent in your story yet, really think about why. You know, and are there areas that you could change? Maybe not yet. And if so, don't be afraid to, you know, admit those and talk about what you're working to do. You know, we know that many of you are in charge of big ships, big brands. And so, you know, you may need to make those changes a little more slowly, but heading in that direction. So recapping real quick, we've got...
I should put the slide on that has the recap.
Oh, yeah. Whoops, sorry, guys. A little recap there. I think I did okay mentioning most of them. Oh, your team. This is really important also. It's a critical ingredient. Of course, you want people that, you know, have great backgrounds and skills and experience, but you also want them to really care about your story and your brand authentically. There's a great quote that is often attributed to Theodore Roosevelt, but really comes from the medical profession, that says, we don't care how much you know unless we know how much you care. So, you know, get your team inspired to care about what it is that they're selling. You know, bring people in that are authentic in that, and you'll find that they're better chefs as they work through things. So let's see, we've talked about number one is to feed a real hunger. No, sorry. We'll recap. I think we'll move, in the interest of time, we'll move on to number four. Sometimes it's okay to throw out the cookbook.
Right. So this one might be a surprise given that we haven't even gotten to the cooking yet, and already we're saying, don't even worry about it. Sometimes it's okay to just be creative and to throw a bunch of ingredients into a bowl, mix it up, and put it out there and see what happens. So we are saying that it is totally fine to think outside the recipe box here. And I want to share with you a little bit about how that has worked for Kimberly and I and for the work that we have done together. So in 2007, my mom and I started an initiative called Green Halloween, and Carlotta mentioned that at the beginning. We had absolutely no plan. It was a totally accidental thing. We had no budget, and I, for one, had no idea what I was doing. My mom had a background in some corporate communication and PR, but she doesn't like to follow rules at all, so everything was totally outside the box. And no sooner had the words come out of our mouth about starting this thing called Green Halloween than people came out of the woodwork to be involved. This was in Seattle, where I'm from. We had brands, we had organizations, we had teachers, just everybody said, we want to be involved in this. Bloggers got wind of what we were doing, and the next year we took Green Halloween nationwide, and fast forward to year five, which was last year, we had 70 plus events in every major market across the U.S., reaching over a million people at in-person events. Carlotta mentioned between 2010 and 2011, we had over $2.5 million worth of media exposure, all of this with really out of plan, without a recipe. And it allowed us to be creative. It allowed us to think a little bit differently. We actually had some entrepreneurs coming to us all along these 5 years being like, this is amazing, but you're not doing it right. You need to have your triangle, and you need to know where you're going. And we're like, triangle? We're like star-shaped, you know? We're all out there going here and going there. We don't want any triangles. And, you know, we've kind of proven that thinking outside the box and, you know, just forgetting the rules can work. So there was a graduate professor in year one. He was a graduate professor of marketing from the University of Washington. And he called us up in year one and said, I have seen all over the news about Green Halloween, and we want you to do an interview on this crazy organic green guerrilla marketing that you've invented. And we were like, we've invented something? You know, we don't know what we've invented. But now after 5 years, we've really kind of honed in on what's been successful in that think outside the box strategy. So we've got some of the ideas here for you. Green Halloween is a nonprofit initiative. It's a program of Eco Mom Alliance. And the idea is to make Halloween as sort of the poster child of all holidays. And I mean, we could have chosen anything. We chose Halloween. So it's a nonprofit initiative to inspire families to be healthier and more sustainable at Halloween while keeping all the fun. So it's kind of like giving Halloween a makeover and giving kids the traditions that they still really want. So greening up the goodies, making your own face paint, swapping costumes, all those things.
What's your tagline?
Oh, and our tagline is to think outside the candy box. So fits well here. All right, so some of the things that we've learned over the last 5 years and what really works. Number one is finding a buzzworthy, timely, simple, or why didn't I think of that idea? Now, I know that probably seems a little easier said than done, right? But if you were to go back to your teams and say, let's think of something really timeless, think of something really exciting, initiative with, you know, that our brand can really embrace, you might be surprised at how much buzz can be created. And through the buzz, obviously, you're reaching moms, right? But you actually don't even have to think of the idea yourself. If there's an initiative or a program that you think is really exciting and really timely, ask and see if you can be involved. Get your brand to be a part of that. So this $2.5 million worth of media exposure, much of that has also given visibility to the brand partners that we're involved with. who are a part of Green Halloween. They didn't have to come up with the concept, but they can go along for the ride. The second, again, is no budget. That's not necessarily a problem. I know that many of you probably pay PR firms money on, you know, they're on retainer. You pay, a good amount of your resources goes into getting some buzz going about your brand. And I'm not at all saying that that's not a value. But you can get your product out there, you can get your name out there without necessarily paying any money at all. One way to do that is if you have a brand product, is to take part in events via in-kind donations. There are so many organizations out there that are happy to be your cheerleaders. And these moms are happy to get your product out there. So contact some of these organizations or events and see if they'll accept in-kind donations to get your product out there. Reciprocation is really important, especially with women. So kind of if you connect with another brand or a mom-based organization and saying, how can we support you? Here's how we would like to help you. They'll help get your name out there. Negotiation. If there is a mom-focused event or organization that's doing great work, but you look at their sponsorship rates and you just can't afford it, ask. See if you can negotiate. We have found that mom-based companies and organizations are really, really, really willing to be very flexible in working with the brands that they're excited about. Asking for input from folks outside your bubble is really important, because if you want think outside the box ideas, then you better either get outside the box yourself or find someone who is outside the box. I oftentimes ask my 11-year-old daughter for ideas when I'm stuck on something, and I mean, she's a standard 11-year-old, but she doesn't have the filters that the rest of us have and what you should do and what all the rules are. So ask someone who is outside of your field. Hey, we're working on this. What do you think? The other way to think outside the bubble is, let's say that your product is a belly balm for moms who are pregnant. Reach out to the moms who have toddlers. They've already been through the stage. They're already outside the bubble. They already have that distance. Talk to them, or talk to moms who are working on getting pregnant. They're not yet in that stage. They're also outside the bubble. So getting some new ideas going can be really helpful.
I was just going to interrupt and share one of the brands that we work with. They are launching a new product for this coming Halloween, and they asked us for some feedback, and one of our first thoughts was immediately, let's go to our kids. You know, so we went to our kids
and then
our kids' friends, and then we were able to go back to the brand with, you know, some really solid, varied, you know, boys and girls of different ages feedback, and the brand was so happy, and hopefully it'll do good this fall.
And they'll tell it like it is.
Yep.
Think outside the box means of marketing. So we mentioned Pinterest. Definitely look into Pinterest. There's a lot of apps that are floating around out there. Think about a solution-focused app for your brand if you haven't already. Text campaigns. Mm-hmm. Moms are texting. Reach her via, you know, those means. Podcasts. There are so many fabulous podcasts out there. So just think of things that are a little bit, you know, non-traditional and see how they work. Ask moms, what do you think? We did this podcast. Did you like it? Did you like, you know, could you relate to it or not? Get their feedback. And lastly, don't forget about the fun. There's an assumption that moms aren't interested in the fun, and that is not at all the case. 55% of online gamers are moms. So you might want to consider, if it's relevant to your brand, to create an online game. Give her some fun. 90% of moms go online for me time, and they do want to escape. Don't ask me why. they want to escape their full plates for just a little bit of play. On greenhalloween.org, we have a game called Haunted Hybrid. It's a silly little game. It takes like 30 seconds to play, and you get to be a witch on a broomstick, and you smash into pumpkins to get biofuel. And it's like, it was so funny for me to see when we first put it up there, we know that our market is moms, go and play Haunted Hybrid. When they first come to our website, it gets them to stay on there, and they recognize your site. So consider the fun. Don't leave that out, and, you know, see what happens.
Because we always want to connect.
Right. All right. So if you leave today's session with only one bit of information, well, we hope you leave with more than one bit of information, one idea. But if there's only one thing that you walk away with, then Kimberly and I hope that is the core idea of connection. It is absolutely critical when you are working with moms and when you're reaching out to moms that this idea of connection is woven through all of your choices in your marketing campaign. Marketing is truly a form, well, we know it's a form of communication, and we know it's a form of relationship building. There's a really great book that I recommend to my clients, and it's by a Georgetown linguistics professor named Deborah Tannen. And it is also a great book for all of you because it talks about the communication differences between men and women. There are, as Kimberly was saying earlier, there are neurological differences, there are biological differences, there are psychological, I mean, we are different beings completely. I'll give you a little bit of examples here. So Tannen talks about how men connect through communication. And two guys are talking. What she found is that men one-up each other. This is how they communicate. So one tells a story, and the other one will, again, he's connecting, but he's one-upping. Oh, yeah, well, you know, this kind of happened to me. So it's kind of like a this thing.
This is why the waves always get bigger, the mountain gets steeper. And like.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is that men tend to, and again, this is tend to, it's not necessarily speaking to you, but, you know, this is what Deborah found, and is that men connect through solving problems. So, for example, I come home after a really, really challenging day and see my husband. Oh, honey, I had a really, really hard day. I had this really, you know, challenging call. And he might be prone to immediately jump into, well, honey, do you think about this? Or could you have done this? Or could you have done that? Okay? But he's connecting with me. He's just trying to solve my problem because that's how he's going to do it. What Tannen found is that women connect in a completely different way. So if I call up Kimberly after my really hard day, and she's a really good friend, believe me, but she would be just sort of primed to do this genetically. I would say, Kimberly, I had a really challenging call. It was like a really, really stressful day. And she'd say, you did? Tell me about it. What was your day like? How was that? And then I would tell her, I was so stressed out. Oh, God, honey, I'm so sorry. You were so stressed out. And then she might even share her own story. You know what? That same thing happened to me recently. And so our communication is like this. Because she has listened to me, she has affirmed what I have said, and she's probably shared a story that makes me feel like, oh, I can relate with you. This is like golden for you guys. Your product can solve a problem, and that can be great, but you have this amazing opportunity to connect with her, and this is how she wants to connect with you. We know that, unfortunately, women and moms specifically feel completely misunderstood by marketers. There's many surveys, and you can go Google it later, but somewhere, depending on who's doing the survey, between 60 and 70 plus percent of moms say that brands do not understand them, advertisers don't speak their language, that these marketers do not understand what it's like to be a mom. And I find that so heartbreaking because all they have to do is ask. Moms will share that information. So going back to sort of the biological and the sort of genetic desire to connect, we also understand, if you look at it historically, how women have survived since the beginning of time. It's through connection. If we don't connect with our babies, what happens? They don't survive. If we can't connect with other women and problem solve and be able to get along, our tribe of women falls apart, and we know that children traditionally have been raised with women side by side working together. So here's the magic ingredient for your marketing plan. If you spend the time, and it will take time to connect, if you take the time to understand her, to speak her language, to build a relationship with her, she will do your marketing work for you because what she's going to want to do is connect with her friends by helping to give them resources and to say, you know, for example, my daughter is the pickiest eater. I cannot feed this child. She will not eat anything green. I mean, it's like you put something green in her mouth and she acts like you're trying to kill her. But I discovered, for example, Plum Organics has a great product that, oh my gosh, she's eating, and oh my gosh, it's healthy. Well, I know that Kimberly's son won't eat anything either. So guess what I do? Have you heard about this? It is so good. He's going to eat this. We share that information with each other. In fact, women consider the endorsements of other moms so vital to their ability to trust and try new things and purchase, by the way, that around 70% of moms report that they would rather buy a brand endorsed by other moms, even if they don't know them, than they would a product that has been endorsed by a celebrity or the media. So think about that. A lot of brands say, oh, we're trying to get this A-list celebrity, we're trying to get on the Today Show. You can do that. I'm not saying that's not a good thing to have Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, backing up your product. But if you can get other moms talking about your brand, if you can get them blogging and telling their friends, they're going to do all the work for you. They're going to be your biggest brand ambassadors and cheerleaders. And that's really kind of the key here.
Yeah, so how to do that. It's about building real relationships with real moms. And we've said over and over again today, do not be afraid to ask. There is no, you know, that old kindergarten thing about there's no stupid question. There's really not. You know, if you are being authentic and you're curious and you really care and you want to know and you want to make sure you're helping them solve a problem, they're going to give you the information you need. Just ask the questions. And then also, as you're doing that, really, you know, be yourself. You know, you may be, you know, selling, Corey was talking about Plum Organics. You may be selling an organic baby food, or maybe you're selling, some sort of, you know, fitness tool or something, and, you're not fully eating organic yet, or you're not working out every day or whatever. Don't be afraid to admit, you know, the realities. We're not saying to be, like, so authentic, like, that you're trying to be something you're not because you're trying to relate to them. Be yourself. And talk about why you're trying to make those changes and why you're trying to be more like, you know, where you're all working toward getting together. And then, you know, toward this idea of moms wanting to share, make it easy for her. You know, the one thing we don't have is a lot of extra time. So, for example, on your, you know, email newsletter campaigns that you're sending out, make sure those forward to friend links are very visible and clear and working. You know, and when you do blog posts, make sure the comments feature is enabled so that she can comment easily and, you know, pass it on to her friends. Make sure you've got links to Facebook and Twitter, you know, on everything you do so that, you know, again, it's just easy for her if you're, you know, doing kind of referral and reward programs. That's also more incentive for her to share, and it reinforces the fact, you know, that she's done something nice for you to help get the word out, so then you can give something back to her, which, you know, is always good. Remember that the word of mom goes both ways. You know, while we will be your most loyal brand advocate, we will also be the first one to say, oh, you messed up, you know. If that happens, embrace that. Learn from it. Talk to her. Don't be afraid to, like, go talk to her and be, you know, be present and really listen and hear what, you know, what she's upset about. Of course, try to fix it, but if you can't, talk to her about why you can't. You know, like, help her to understand where you're at. Maybe you'd like to be able to, and maybe in 3 months or 6 months or a year you can, but maybe you can't right now. But give her, like, you know, give her the information so she knows where you're coming from, and she gets that sense that she's really been heard and she's authentically connecting with you. There's that word, connect again. go to mom in person and online. While we know that between 21 and 31 million moms are online at any given time, that's certainly a power we don't want to miss, but there's nothing that can also replace the, you know, human connection and being able to look in your eyes and look in your eyes and read your body language. You know, moms have an average of, is it 309, I think?
109.
You know, word of mouth conversations in a given week, talking about products and brands with other moms. So you want, you know, your brand to be part of that story. If they're pregnant or a new mom, they're going to be talking about these things in person even more because it's all fresh and new, and they just want to make sure they're, you know, on the right track as the other pregnant and new moms, and it's really fun. So, you know, the in-person can't be underestimated. And one thing that we have found really successful is piggybacking with events that are already going on, partnering with other companies or organizations that are already doing events. So you're not adding to mom's to-do list by adding another event for her to go to, you know. So maybe it's a book club or a new mom's group or, you know, some sort of national event platform. But then also going back to online, don't underestimate the power to have real connection via online interchanges. We were doing an EcoMom Valentine's Day Twitter party last year, and this one mom was sharing that she had, you know, four kids and they had no budget. And, you know, by the way, I was very dubious of 140 character interchanges to lead to anything significant in terms of personal connection or, you know, brand loyalty kinds of moments. But she was saying how she hadn't been able to go out on a date with her husband in years due to finances and four kids. So I suggested a stay-at-home date night. You know, I'm like, no matter how tired you are, you know, make yourself take a shower, put on something that you feel good in, you know, maybe have some, you know, sweet dessert with your husband or partner or whatever, and, you know, cook up some romance. You know, and I hoped she would do it. Didn't know, but a couple days later I got an email from her, you know, thank you so much for that idea. I loved it. You know, we had a great time. We can't wait for our next date night, stay-at-home date night. And it felt so good for me to hear that, but I also knew that she was then leaving not only with an awareness that EcoMom is providing, you know, vetted products and information for her, but also that, you know, we really cared about her and we're meeting her needs as a woman, you know, so it was like that deeper level of connection. And as a parent, we know that the days are very long and the years are fast. So we like seek these moments of fun and happiness and sweet connection, and we want to treasure them and get them wherever we can. So I encourage you as a brand, as a marketer, to help mom in her journey of finding moments of fun in sort of unexpected ways sometimes. One of my favorite books is by an author named Lawrence Gonzalez, and it's called Deep Survival. And he finds the, I think, 9 key traits for people that are real survivors. People that, you know, like, for example, a plane crashes and they, you know, walk miles to, you know, get back to civilization. Or a mountaineer who, you know, breaks his pelvis on a 26,000-foot peak and makes it back down, you know, to be rescued. And one of the traits that was common among all these survivors was an ability to find fun and a sense of playfulness in the most, you know, seemingly unfun circumstances, the most dire of circumstances. For example, that mountaineer, you know, this is a true story. He's up on a 26,000-foot peak, and he breaks his pelvis, so he has to hobble, crawl, climb, drag himself all the way down to be saved. And what he shared, what was like key for him in making that journey, was that he heard the sound of his crampons clanking on the rocks as he was like dragging one of his legs. And he started to hear, like, I always get like goosebumps. I've told this story so many times, but he started to hear that clanking sound as like a music. So he could start to see dance moves and like a dance party in his head to that sound. And so he turned this like awful situation into like there was a little bit of play. And so, you know, I think that as in terms of marketing and meeting people's, you know, needs, moms especially, but I think all of us can always use more play and fun in our life, expand your vision of what that means and then try to work together with your colleagues, your brand partners, and, you know, especially your customers that you're trying to reach to bring a little bit more fun and play into her life. And toward that, we had the idea to come up with a little recipe that we thought could kind of encapsulate that for you, and we call it Connect to Mom Cupcakes. And we think that this can be very sweet and fulfilling for you and your customers. So, Corey, would you like to share the ingredients?
Sure. So as we talked about today, during our talk, we've been providing you the ingredients for your own recipe for success. And this might your recipe might look a lot like this. So this is the recipe for our recipe for Connect to Mom Cupcakes. And, of course, we recommend you use organic and fair trade ingredients whenever possible. All right, so we have 1 scoop of understanding, 1 batch of vision, 1 cup of solutions, maybe 2, 1 rounded teaspoon each, respect and authenticity, a dash of sharing, a pinch of rewards. You add support and fun to taste, mix gently, bake in a round pan, very important round, on warm to high heat, and when finished, your cupcakes will be sticky.
And sticky, of course, is what we want when we're marketing to moms because it's all about building real relationships that stick. So whether it's with the, you know, your colleagues, other brands, other partners, so we also call them happy partner pancakes. We think, you know, really it takes partnering to make anything be successful, and that really is so important to us, and we want to share also that we are happy to partner with any of you. We really want to help. We love helping to support and grow brands that are doing good work in the world and help to get that out there. And we're so grateful to you for being here today. And this concludes the official part of our talk, but Carlotta will be leading us in a Q&A. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Presentation.
Thank you. So,
you know, just so many actionable tips. And I loved hearing about sort of your take from as a therapist on ways that you can relate to moms in the market in terms of the isolation, because I do remember that. And it really hasn't occurred to me that a brand could really reach out authentically to provide connection when it's so needed. And what you were talking about in terms of finding the mom advocates, that also, it made me think of a brand that I've recently learned about called Dolphin Organics. And so they're a natural children's personal care line, you know, shampoos and sunscreens. And they've created a group called what they call Dolphin Moms. And it's their mom advocacy group. And I'm just wondering, do you have any tips on where do you start with building a group like that? How do you know if a mom is the right person to become one of your official advocates in this type of capacity?
I see. Do you want to take it?
Sure. So EcoMom Alliance is really based on that model of like taking, we call them our community leaders, but taking like the mom mavens in communities and empowering them to be a brand advocate or a cause advocate in our case. And again, I go back to asking questions. I literally started just talking to moms in my neighborhood where I lived, you know. Then I started sending emails to moms that I knew in other neighborhoods. And then that led to, you know, can you come speak to our moms group? And then that led to, hey, I've got a friend in, you know, in this town, and she'd be a great speaker. And, you know, again, it goes that genetic need of that we have to share. So if asked, you know, if you've got an idea, you want to build a brand, you know, mommy advocate brand, you know, like Luna Bars has done that with their Luna Moms. A lot of companies are starting to do this. You know, just ask. Start putting the feelers out there, and I think it will just naturally grow. And then also don't be afraid to ask questions to make sure that their values really do align with yours. You know, one of the things that was really important to me with EcoMom Alliance was that no one was ever made to feel bad that they were like a lighter shade of green or a darker shade of green, for example. You know, when I was first starting, I had a SUV car, and I thought, oh my gosh, how can I start this thing called EcoMom and EcoMom Alliance when I have an SUV? And then I was like, well, actually, that's the whole point, is that you can start doing healthier, better things wherever you are. So I started telling that story. And then when I was asking, you know, talking to people that were interested in becoming a, you know, brand advocate, a community leader, I shared that story to say, you know, can you represent us in a way that's non-judgmental? Because that's so important to me. Like, you know, so whatever your brand values are, you know, be really clear in what you expect of your mommy brand advocates. You know, put it out there very, very clear so you aren't surprised and they know what's expected of them.
That's great. That's great. So we will open it up to the audience. Any questions?
How can you authentically use that word now for those 109 conversations to create sales? And you know, you have that great product, you have that story to tell that can resonate with you, but like,
well, there's a number of ways that you can do it. What we were suggesting in the talk is that by taking the time to build a relationship with her, she's going to be talking about your brand. So you don't have to do extra work. If she feels connected to you and she feels that you're addressing her needs with the product and with your marketing approach, she's going to be chatting about you because it's in our DNA. So if you just do your work, she'll probably be talking about you. But you're talking about rewards and really encouraging her. And, yeah, you can actually take that approach. I mean, she's not going to take offense to you saying, you know, hey, moms, you like to talk? Do you like to share? Well, we want to reward you for talking and sharing. And here's our reward, you know, program. I mean, try different things. You could set a survey out and say, we want to reward you for talking. What, how would you like the rewards? Do you want 50% off coupons? Do you want samples sent to you so that you can send them to your friends? Do you want, you know, iTunes cards? I mean, ask her and see what happens. You don't have to read minds here. Again, that's going back to, you know, the solving the problem. You, none of you are expected to read minds. Women now are, they understand that brands want to get to know them, so feel free to ask. But, I mean, I wouldn't go overboard, but, like, you know, find strategic ways to ask what it is that you want to know. And say, we want to connect with you. What is the best way to do that? You don't have to have a crystal ball. You don't have to read minds.
Just a quick question. As a new manufacturer of gluten-free products, I'm just catering to moms who have, you know, autistic kids or kids that have celiac disease, how do we get connected with your program as a brand? What's the proper channel to you as a brand?
So are you asking about our program specifically, or just how, with your product that's a specific product, how would we recommend you get out to the celiac community and the autistic? Okay. I can take that one.
Yeah, that's very personal.
So I have children with health problems and with limited diets. So I understand as a mom what that's like. You have an opportunity to reach a demographic that is just open, just saying, please help me find something for my children. If you have a child with celiac disease, it has been a long, long road. And her loyalty will be immediate if your product is good enough. And I am sure that it is. So the storytelling, allowing her to share her story of what it's like to be a mom dealing with a child who has food sensitivities or food allergies is, in, I mean, my opinion would be to allow her to share that story. There are, I'm guessing, hundreds, if not thousands now, of boards, Yahoo groups, that are moms talking. So I'm a member of one particular group for my children's particular health concerns, and it's a daily digest, and it probably has 100 different conversations back and forth. And brand names are, I mean, in a week, it's got to be at least several hundred. You know, do you know about Udi's? Do you know about this? Do you know about that gluten-free brand? And how has it been for your child? So connect with these moms. And ask them, say, where are you? What Yahoo groups are you on? Can I send you some samples? Mm-hmm. They, if you're solving that problem for them, I mean, talk about cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. It's serious. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have some serious fans out there. Mm-hmm. So reach those groups specifically.
And you know, organizations that are devoted to your specific cause, you know, in this case, celiac, but whatever cause you may be, you know, addressing your product toward, you know, reach out to organizations, nonprofits, you know, NGOs and whatnot that are aligned with that, and, you know, don't be afraid to ask them. You know, you are providing a product that's going to help make their community members' lives better. That's the idea. So, you know, share that and offer your services.
That's a good idea.
If you're dealing with a message that has a very limited amount of space, like a billboard or a tweet, I guess, for that matter, how much does it matter in terms of helping other mothers do things like the fair trade initiatives as opposed to helping that mother, the purchasing mother, solve a problem for their child or herself and legitimate issues that you're talking about?
You know, I think really, you know, the bottom line for most of us is, you know, as much as we consider, I mean, I grew up in a household where global interconnection was part of, like, everyday conversation. You know, we are related to those people across the world. Those are your sisters and brothers. And yet, ultimately, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's about me taking care of my son, you know, and it's about my parents taking care of me. And so I think that, you know, if you have the ability to do things that are going to, you know, like right now we're involved in a, you know, water initiative. We're bringing together kids here to sponsor, you know, water project in India. So I'm totally supportive of that type of thing. I want to be very clear. But I do think that ultimately we are driven by, you know, what's going to make, you know, my life better at the end of the day, what's going to better take care of my kids. And, you know, I have this little thing in my head that I share sometimes called the MQL, and it's like, or MQLS, like my quality of life standards, you know. Like, you know, yeah, of course we want to do good, But, you know, at the end of the day, I think if you've got just a short little thing, you want that customer to know how it's going to impact her. And then the ripple out effect is like the icing on the cake.
Yeah. One other just comment on that. This goes back to knowing who you're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. We know that, look at the spectrum of greenness. If you're trying to reach typically mainstream moms or light green moms, then they're going to focus on the health of their family first. If your focus is dark green moms, you may actually have moms who say, you cannot separate the health of my child from the health of the planet, or the health of my communities, or the health of other people, the farmers, the people who are making the product. You cannot separate it. It's all a top priority for me. So it really goes back to, you've got to know who it is that you're trying to reach before you can answer that question. So that question is secondary to doing some of the first steps of your recipe. You don't want to start mixing before you've, put the eggs in or whatever.
Can you make a decision to promote a product on Lamar.com that is brand new, that hasn't had the time to spread out in local communities?
On ecomom.com, the commerce site?
Yes.
So I started that back in 2006. I'm no longer directly involved with the, purchasing decisions for the site. I can certainly provide you with the contact person who is. But we have a very thorough research and testing and vetting process that helps to determine what, products will be allowed to go onto that site, because that's, one of the needs that, the brand seeks to meet, is that there's so much confusing information about, what products we would feel good endorsing. So, yeah, I can speak to you. It really depends on the company, because some companies have all of their, production and ingredients and everything already all lined up, and they can say, here you go, it depends. There's so many factors, so it depends. Yep. Yeah, the company is very, very engaged in all of these steps and reaching out to communities and using social media. Are these products you guys want? I mean, we're also constantly, customers tell us about products. Hey, we just discovered this. Will you put it through your, testing and see if it, works for you and meets your standards? So it goes both ways, yeah.
So any other questions?
Right, the resources.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are there certain points that you can go to that spread out?
Well, we were generalizing. I mean, yes, you can connect with moms one-to-one, but there's lots of ways that you can reach mass moms to get feedback. So the one-on-one stuff we think is important. You can have focus groups. You can have a panel. One of our slides talked about an advisory board. We recommend that you ask moms for their input. Not after you've launched your product, but before. Get them in at the beginning of the process to start advising you and giving you their feedback. So this board can sort of be a representative. Maybe get one mainstream mom, one light green mom, one dark green mom, one working mom. Get an advisory board put together, and they can sort of represent their circle of moms. Because moms is not a subset. Moms are the set. They are the set, and all these different groups are subsets of that one set. So, and then in your social media campaign, so for example, the young woman who's leading the campaign can say, hey, my name is Susan, and I'm sort of the voice behind the connecting with you, for this brand. We really want to connect with you moms out there. Hi, guys. We want to hear from you. So in that large voice, by using Twitter and Facebook, you can reach, and you know, of course, you'll get back, you know, a few answers will trickle in, and you can start to have those conversations. So you can reach a lot of people through an e-news, you know, an e-news blast, you know, through a YouTube video. We know that moms love videos. They want to connect in that way. They use it to relax and engage. They'll stay on websites that have videos even longer. So create a video and say, hey, we're a new brand. And moms, we want to hear from you. Click right below this video. There's a feedback button. We want to know what's important to you. I mean, it's just one idea, but it's a way that you can reach a lot and not feel so overwhelmed about the individuals.
And they'll, you know, I mean, the beauty, well, sometimes the curse, but hopefully more often than not, the beauty of social media is that even if I'm not directly, like, tweeting back and forth with you, I'm seeing on the feed your communication with another mom, so I can be like, oh, that's so cool. I love how she, you know, responded to Sally Jo, and, you know.
So I think we have time for one more question.
I have that.
The term all natural is the term that most moms will respond to by a huge, I think it's something like 87%, that that's the term that they respond to the most positively and significantly. But I also want to, with that, include the caveat that because there's such little regulation in labeling, that if you're, you know, whatever claims you're going to make, back it up somehow, you know, so... for example, a company we were just working with, they were, you know, using the slogan or the, you know, the line all natural, you know, and I said, or all natural colors or something like that, you know, and I said, can you give us provide a little more detail, like, you know, like grape juice for coloring, or, you know, beets for, you know, beets are our color, you know, things like that, so that it's like, wow, that brand is really walking their talk, because anybody can say all natural.
I have here actually. A list, and it's SOAM 2011. I think it stands for State of American Mom or something about that. But you can find it online. It's a downloadable, like, basic research analysis. And the top 10, going from most important to the least important, but still all important because it's top 10 of what moms are looking for their kids. I'll read these to you. Number one is vitamin and minerals. Number two is protein. Number three is sugar content. Number four, they want whole wheat. Number five, all natural. Number six, they want to know the sodium content. Number seven, calories. Number eight, the low fat. Number nine, organic. And number 10, low carb. Now, for moms looking for products for themselves, the top 10 things that they were looking at, number one was calories, number two, vitamin and minerals, number three, protein, number four, whole wheat, number five, low fat, number six, sugar, number seven, sodium, number eight, all natural, number nine, low carb, and 10, organic. These are obviously, I believe, around food products. So it gives you an indication, and I'm sure there's other surveys that would lead to kind of similar things.
And that seems like a very conventional mom market that, mm-hmm. that would be kind of represent those that kind of a ranking. But everything that I've learned, and we've been doing a lot of consumer focus groups, no matter what your label says, just be transparent mm-hmm. and very honest about it, because especially in the greener or more core market, the level of label skepticism is just skyrocketing, where the more you put on the label, the less... especially women will trust you. So, I mean, they see a lot on a label and they just are immediately skeptical. So I think that's something to really you need to know about the more core green market.
Mm-hmm. There's all this greenwashing and pinkwashing that's going on. Moms are incredibly savvy. And that's why, you know, Kimberly's mention of being specific. If it's colored using fruit, then state that rather than all natural.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example. You don't see a lot of that, and mm-hmm. As a mom, I would love to see more of that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's 5:00, and this was such an excellent panel.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you all for being
nice
here.
Nice to see you all.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.